Okay, I'm going to do something a little bit out of the normal here this morning as we get ready to jump back into our series on Proverbs. Kind of like I had the map up here earlier. You know, between Russia and China, there's a place called Mongolia. You know, between the book of Psalms and Ecclesiastes, there's a book called Proverbs. It's not one of those places that we often go to, but it's a great destination for those who can somehow find their way there. If you brought a Bible or you got your app on your phone, I want to just say we're gonna start off in kind of a little funny way here today. I want you to break it out and find your way to the book of Proverbs. Okay? Anywhere in the book of Proverbs. Anywhere. There's 31 chapters. Just open it up there again. After Psalms, before Ecclesiastes. If most Bibles, it's just a little past the midpoint. So if you open to the very middle, go a little bit further, you're going to find your way into that book. The reason I'm going to do this is because the Proverbs are an interesting collection of wisdom. Ancient wisdom comes out of the community of Israel about 3,000 years ago. Being part of our biblical witness, it's part of God's wisdom for us. But because, and we said this a few weeks ago, and I'll highlight again before we continue on, but because it is this gathering of wisdom, it's really different. It's a unique piece of Scripture and requires us to interpret it through a different set of lenses. And we'll see that in just a moment. One of the things that makes it a little bit challenging is that unlike other parts of the Bible, it's not law. It's not intended to be law. It's not intended to be commandments that we follow. And it's also not promises. There are other parts of Scripture that are all about promises, about God's goodness and His faithfulness and how He's going to respond. These are not promises either. But these are instead, they are a collection of wisdom that if applied to our life, as a likelihood of making our life much better, okay? So that's literally what it is. Okay, I'm going to take about, and this is going to be quick, about 30 seconds. If you've got Bibles open anywhere in the book of Proverbs, I want you just to read for about 20 seconds. See if you cannot find a verse that says something to you or makes you smile or says, huh, I never thought of that. And I'm going to have you share it with us. So take about 30 seconds, just read a little ways, anywhere in the book of Proverbs. We're going to just pull a few of these verses out. Okay, that's about our 30 seconds. And so I want to just say, anyone here find one that you'd like to share? Okay, good. We got about 5 hands up right away. So we're going to come around. Start right here. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. That's in Proverbs 1. That was our opening proverb to begin this series. See, you weren't even here, but you've got it already. Perfect. Okay, Scott. Wow, okay. A good name is better than riches. Good. Jill. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps. Good. Okay, let's switch over to the other side. We'll come back over here. Val. But the short-sighted needs a slap in the face. Good. Okay. Now, again, this is not God's law, so don't go looking for short-sighted people to slap them in the face. Okay, this isn't how the words are to be interpreted for us. And again, we gotta be a little bit, not be monotone in the way we interpret Scripture, but understand what it's written for and how to do it. Dave, there you go. Proverbs 10:1. I know that one. Yep, it's right there. And you've got a wise son sitting next to you today. He has brought joy to his father. So way to go, Dave. Good. Okay, good work. Yes, right here in the front, and then we'll switch back over to the other side. We got a couple more over here and come back. Go ahead. Okay, he who pursues righteousness. Good. Okay, over here we got Carl and then we had Maggie. Good. Healing in your body and refreshment to your bones if you are not wise in your own eyes, but heed the ways of the Lord. Good. Yes. Meg. He is a shield to those who take refuge. Good. Dorothy. Yeah, okay, good advice. Okay. Again, that's not necessarily a law, but it's something good for us to follow. Dick, he who waters himself will be watered. That's good to know. You know, we could do a good image of that, couldn't we? You know, some guy standing out in his yard with a hose. Yeah, I'm watering myself because, you know, the Bible tells me to. You know, this is the problem with trying to live biblically, right? So I can just see Dick's going to be out front and his neighbor's going to say, what happened to Dick? He's gone crazy. He's out with a hose. He's watering himself because he wants himself to be watered because it says so in the Bible. Jim, bold as a lion. Okay, very good. All right, Wayne. Yeah, well, you see. The window today is Facebook. Well, that's your window, huh? Do you see a few simple people without much common sense when you look on Facebook? Yeah. There's plenty. There's plenty of us to be found out here on Facebook, I believe me. Okay, Larry, and that's our last one. Then we're going to move because I just want to give you this. There's a purpose in my doing this, and I think I'll highlight it as we move forward. Go ahead, Larry. All right. You know, you got to be careful when you quote that one, Larry. I noticed Shirley's not sitting next to you today, so yeah, you probably would have. She'll never know unless we tell her, and so we'll see. We'll see. She may have spies here. You never know. They are everywhere. You know, the reason we do that, there's a couple of reasons. One, because I just want you to get a feel for it. Again, not law and not promise, but these are sayings that are there for us to help us navigate through the complexities of life. And there are things that talk about all kinds of things, like slapping the simple in the face or whatever that one was, that do kind of make us kind of laugh a bit, but that's kind of what this is about as well. It helps us to know, and one of the other things about the Proverbs, and we saw it, that it's almost a shotgun, wasn't it? Were any of those the same? Were any of those even in the same theme? Hardly, because there are all kinds of various ways that wisdom gets applied to our life, and so it touches on, the Proverbs goes over and over again throughout the varieties of the way life approaches us and gives us insight into those various avenues, those various windows. And so today we want to kind of focus in. As last week we talked about listening, how we listen and how important it is that we listen if we are going to live wise lives. But today I want to talk a little bit on the flip side of that, and that's about what it means for us in the way we choose the words we speak. Or if Proverbs was being written today, the way we choose the words we write and put out on social media, because that is also a way of expression. Before I go into Proverbs 10, and this is going to be a key jumping off, I want to say that it's not just in Proverbs. Obviously, if you read through the New Testament, you see the Apostle Paul is writing instruction to how the church is to be the church. And that's one of the things that he comes up over and over and over again through the various letters that Paul wrote, was how it is for us as now the church, new believers, what have you, how it is that our speech needs to reflect the fact that we are followers of God. Over and over again, I will just highlight in Ephesians, it talks about how we are not to use foul or abusive language, but let everything we say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. Paul goes on through the end of chapter 4 and into chapter 5 talking almost exclusively, or at least half of it, is about this idea of our behavior. Well, all of it's about our behavior, but half of that is about our speech and how important our speech is. You see this over and over as you read through the New Testament, because really, the New Testament writers, Paul in particular, were rooted in some of the wisdom that comes out of the book of Proverbs. And we're going to see a little bit of that today. How important it is about the way we choose the words we use. Okay, so Proverbs 10. I love this one. It begins like this. The words of the godly. Okay, that's you and me, folks. This is our challenge. The words of the godly are a life-giving fountain. I would change that just slightly to say this, that the words of the godly, you and me, are supposed to be a life-giving fountain. Because the reality is that's not true 100% of the time, is it? No, our words aren't always very life-giving. They aren't very restorative at times. No, our words often fall far short of that. And I'm not going to say that makes us ungodly, but I'm saying what we are to aspire to. That there is something of the language of the church that ought to be life-giving. There is something of the language of the church when we're together, which we do pretty good at. But there's something of the language of you and me as a church when we're apart, that we struggle with when it comes to being a life-giving fountain. The words of the wicked conceal violent intentions. Hatred stirs up quarrels. Or as some would say, hatred stirs up squirrels. But we're not going to do that today, because it does that too. but love makes up for all offenses. A couple more verses out of the same theme here, the same strain. The wise words come from the lips of the people with understanding, but those lacking sense will be beaten with a rod. Again, this is not a mandate that you go find a rod and beat people without understanding. It's just saying this is what's going to happen. People who speak, who lack sense, are going to likely get some sort of consequence. Wise people treasure knowledge, but the babbling of a fool invites disaster. Interesting. And again, this is kind of an odd part of Proverbs because it actually spends about four verses here kind of in the same theme, kind of talking about our words and what it means for us to be a life-giving fountain rather than invite disaster by the way that we speak. Okay, a couple things real quick because I do want to jump through some really important points here about what does it mean for us to choose well the words we use. First is that we need to be careful. Sometimes I think we catch ourselves thinking that in order for us to feel comfortable, we have to be talking or has to be full of noise in the place where we're at. And I think the Proverbs kind of gives us a little bit of guidance here, not just the babbling of fools. A truly wise person uses few words. This is Proverbs 17. Hey, that was your proverb at camp, wasn't it, Jeremy? A truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent. With their mouths shut, they seem intelligent. Again, not a promise, not a law, but just kind of a statement of what is. You know, I picked this one intentionally because one of my favorite sayings that comes from Mark Twain, not from the Bible, but from Mark Twain, sounds an awful lot like that. It says, it's better to keep your mouth shut and appear stupid than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. Sometimes silence is very appropriate, and we shouldn't have to be afraid of that. Sometimes it is the constant babbling that actually kind of clutters things up, not only in our thinking, but in the thinking of those around us. And I think that's what Proverbs is trying to say, but that's a real low spot. It's a real low point here, both for Mark Twain as well as for the book of Proverbs. But actually, Proverbs talks a lot more about the language that we use that often brings healing as well as can bring hurt. And so I want to move to that quickly here. A couple of things that are kind of key for us. We need to be careful about what we say. Obviously, the bad things that we don't want to do, again, not laws, but we want to be aware of the words that we use when we mislead others. So Proverbs 12:22, the Lord detests lying lips, but he delights in those who tell the truth. What's that say to us? Honesty is the best policy. There's another proverb, not from the Bible, but it comes right out of this, doesn't it? The idea that this is a good thing, it is preferable. Now, it says it's not a law, no, but one of the Ten Commandments does talk about this, about not bearing false witness. But again, it's an idea that there is something really profound about people who are willing to be honest with one another and not those who are deceptive. Some of the other ways that we are obviously negative, it is foolish to belittle one's neighbor. A sensible person keeps quiet. A gossip goes around telling secrets, but those who are trustworthy can keep a confidence. Now, we understand gossip. Everyone knows that you shouldn't gossip, but yet we do. But I like that other one. How about this? The foolish belittle their neighbor. Now, what's up with that? Why can't I belittle my neighbor? You know that Fred Pillsbury? Let me tell you about Fred. I wish Fred was here this morning so I could belittle him a little bit in public. I can't do that, though, because the Bible says I shouldn't do that. But there's an important part here I want to highlight for you. When it comes to things like this, you think, well, what harm is that? Maybe my neighbor deserves it. They're doing something stupid, and I'm just talking to somebody else. They'll never hear it. It really doesn't matter. But, you know, again, the point of biblical wisdom has a different priority than we often have, and it is to twofold. The point of biblical wisdom when it comes to our speech is this, that it should be to build up unity in the body, and it should also give God glory in the way that we reflect him in the world. And to go and talk trash about somebody else that I know, maybe talking to somebody that we both know, and I'm talking bad about them, is that one developing unity in the body? No. And is it giving God glory for reflecting how in my life, how I can reflect God's goodness in him? No, it's not. When we gossip, when we lie, when we talk down about others, even if they never hear it, it begins to fill up an atmosphere of negativity all around us. It begins to build barriers in the neighborhood, in the culture, in the congregation, in the community. And it begins to create and cultivate a negativity in our minds, and it encourages that same thing in others. Our words have a powerful effect on others, and as we talk junk about somebody, it encourages them to think junk and talk junk about other people as well. Now, these are not God's priorities. These are, again, part of what it means for us to overcome. And so I want to talk a few things. This is, again, Proverbs walks through a number of ways that he says these are what words ought to be. Words of the godly are like sterling silver. I think we touched on that. The heart of the fool is worthless. Kind words are like honey. Anyone like honey? Sweet to the soul and healthy to the body. Kind words. Timely advice is lovely, like golden apples in a silver basket. Again, not promises, not law, but words for us to reflect. How is my advice? How are my words? Are they kind? Are my words like sterling silver? They're usually not. My words often have to be kind of run through a processor, I think, and somehow take out some of the dross that is in them and purify them a bit, because my words tend to get a little bit coarse or a little bit harsh or sometimes a little too quick to judge. And those are the ways that my words often come out. And I think we live in a world that is filled with that, whether it be in our neighborhoods or on Twitter or on Facebook, how easy it is to live in a world where harsh words seem to fuel the fire. So let me go to this. My final approach here is going to be touching on some of these key ways that our words are intended to be positive. Kind words bring life, but cruel words crush the spirit. As we begin to choose our words or think about how it is we are to say, whether we're talking to our spouse or talking to our family or talking to our neighbor or talking to our coworker, one of the things I want to challenge us to do is think about the words and how often are they going to be kind? How often are they cruel? And sometimes that cruelness comes out of simply being angry or upset. Sometimes that cruelness just comes with being exasperated because of what someone has done, and we feel now justified to inflict this cruelty back on them because it just feels right to do it. I'm right in doing it because I'm just calling a spade a spade. I don't care if you're calling it a spade. We are invited to speak with kindness because that reflects something of God's goodness in the midst of our language. A gentle answer turns away wrath. I love Proverbs 15. The gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up anger. We live in a world that is filled with this anger. We live in, especially, I think it seems to be getting more and more so because of the advent of social media and the way everything is out there. We live in a world of harsh words, and this fire is fueled by the way we continue to speak. Our public discourse, have you noticed this? Is hardly discourse at all. It is side-taking, it is finger-pointing, it is name-calling. It is not debate. Subtleties of debate are lost, and everything is either all or nothing, black or white. It's easier to talk over somebody than rather than talk to somebody. And why? Because we are so much easier stick in this idea of harsh words which stir up anger. Maybe someone spoke harsh words to me, so therefore they deserve harsh words in return. What the verse here is telling us is that we have an invitation to not be just more of the problem. We have an invitation to be a part of God's solution, and it is in the way that we reflect God in the words that we choose. Worry weighs a person down, but an encouraging word cheers a person up. Each of us have the opportunity to change the world around us, to begin to move this world into a direction that would be a better place rather than just watching the world go to hell all around us. We have the opportunity to begin to alter the atmosphere of the neighborhood that we exist in, whether it be on social media or in the neighborhood we live in. And it has to do with how it is we engage, how it is we bring the presence of God into our words and through our words into our conversation. I was touched this week. I watched the show. I don't know if you guys watch the show. It's called the ESPYs, and it comes up once a year. It's an award show. Sports figures and celebrities get together. They do this thing, and it was an awesome event. And I got a chance to see about a man who was doing something amazing. It was a service award that was given. Oh yeah, I'm going to challenge us to start a revolution here today. Okay. You got any revolutionaries? A revolution of civility, okay? Because we can change the world. Let me tell you a little bit about this gentleman named Jake Wood. Jake Wood, he has started something called Team Rubicon. He was a former football player at University of Wisconsin. He served 4 years in the U.S. Marine Corps, both in Afghanistan and in Iraq. Since getting out of the Marine Corps, he has started a group that would go to places where disasters have struck. And he would encourage other volunteer or veteran volunteers to come along with him. And they go and bring some of the tools that they have acquired through their service in the military to be a blessing to those who are dealing with the crisis that has befallen them. He was awarded this award. And part of his speech about service, he said this. He said, "Our nation's capacity to love our neighbors is near limitless after a Category 5 hurricane. We donate, we serve, and we pray. Citizens across the proverbial train tracks to cross those tracks to help those they wouldn't speak to the day prior. But why is it in the months following a storm we retreat back into our corners to dismiss the human beings that we had come to love just a few weeks prior? We can do better, and we must do better," he said, "in the way of serving one another rather than being divided and somehow staying in our corners. Know your neighbor, love your neighbor, help your neighbor." You know, I heard him say that and I said, that is so profound. And I thought, you know why it's so profound? Because it sounds a little bit like the words of Jesus, that we are to love our neighbor as ourselves. We don't do that very well. And yet, it's Jesus' words. Those are commands for us. It takes someone like Jake Wood. I don't even know if he's a believer, but he's on national TV saying we need to change the atmosphere. We need to bring a sense of division. We need to bring a sense of service that crosses those lines. And I would say that we, as the body of Christ, we can do better and we must do better. That when it comes to the division in the world around us, not joining in and not firing back, but allowing the kindness of our words, this revolution of civility to begin to have its place and see if God really can change the world that we live in through you and through me. I'm going to take a moment, let's pray, and we're going to wrap up this morning. This has been engaging for me, and I hope for you, God. We thank you for your word and for the challenge that we have been given. We would ask that you would help us to be more biblical in the way that we interact, not looking for those who are falling short and pointing out their failings, but of somehow allowing your word to permeate us and to create in us kind words where harsh words by nature come, enabling us to bring civility into areas of discord and division rather than playing the game or being baited into the fight. God, that we would be part of your solution, not just more of the problem. God, help us to reflect more of you, even in the simple things, the words that we use. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.